Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Immigration myths and reality for people on the enforcement end of the president's border policy. A frontline investigation shows that President Obama's reputation for being soft on immigration is not deserved. Obama's Big Stick, coming up later this hour.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was in Tripoli today. It was a surprise visit, and she is the first cabinet-level U.S. official to visit the Libyan capital since Muammar Gaddafi fell from power. Clinton is promising millions of dollars in new U.S. aid to the transitional government in Libya. And joining us from Libya is Karim Fahim, reporter for our partner, The New York Times. So, Karim, explain to us what the new aid is intended to do. We seem to have lost Karim Fahim. He's actually on his way to Bani Walid, where there appears to be still a little bit of fighting going on. So his line is a little bit sketchy.
Well, to Syria now and the persistent unrest, which has not produced the kind of clear political outcome as we can find in Libya. There's no Secretary of State visit likely in Syria these days. Even understanding what life is like in Syria right now is immeasurably more complicated by the government crackdown. At the center of the uprising in Syria is the city of Homs, where a large number of the estimated 3,000 dead have fallen. Sue Lloyd-Roberts, correspondent for our partner the BBC, went undercover into Homs and saw firsthand the brutality there. The names of all the interviewees in this report have been changed to protect their identities.
When they started demonstrating in Homs back in March, they were calling for reform. Then they called for the fall of the regime. Today they're demanding the death of President Assad by hanging. These protests are taking place every night in Homs now with apparently unabated enthusiasm, which is impressive, not least because they've been going on for 7 months and so little has been achieved. But this is not the point, I'm told by Hussein of the local Homs Coordination Committee. It's that people are here, out on the streets, demanding change.
I haven't seen anything like this in my life. The old, the young, women, everyone calling for freedom in Syria. This revolution will win, inshallah.
Homs might boast the title of the capital of the Syrian uprising, but people have paid a high price. Mohammed was one of the soldiers ordered to attack the city.
We were ordered to kill everything that moved, everyone who was walking in the street.
He told me he had just defected a couple of days ago. Why?
Our orders were to kill the Syrian people. It was never the plan to protect them from armed gangs. Rather, we were being ordered to kill our own people, who at the end of the day are our own flesh and blood.
It's Friday, the day when the protest after midday prayers is most likely to provoke a violent reaction from the army. I'm driven around the city as the demonstrators build barricades across the roads. The police wait in back streets.
Now you will see a police vehicle to the left and another to the right. We are close now. Don't photo. Hide the camera. Hide the camera.
And in a network of makeshift hospitals, doctors are preparing their inadequate equipment. Dr. Ahmed would be arrested and tortured if he were found helping a gunshot victim.
The normal thing would be to take the injured with gunshot wounds to the hospital. To our astonishment, we found that when we did that, the injured were either arrested or killed. A man would go into the hospital with a treatable injury to his hand or to his leg, and his family would be summoned to collect a corpse with a shot in the head or in the chest.
But these medical points are stretched to the limit. They have to move once a week to escape detection, and they're desperately short of the basics. blood bags, antibiotics, and even antiseptic wipes. They try and save lives by taking the injured some 30 kilometers across the border to Lebanon. I also made the journey to the northern Lebanese border, where I met 28-year-old Khaled, stretched out on a mat on the floor and in obvious pain. He'd been shot in the stomach while attending a protest.
We were protesting on Friday, and the Shabihan security forces opened fire. They managed to sneak me into a hospital where they gave me life-saving treatment. But the security forces broke into the hospital saying they wanted to kill the wounded. I was smuggled out of the back door, and they brought me here.
Sympathetic Lebanese have given refuge to the increasing numbers of wounded in the border area, and also to soldiers who have defected, escaped across the border, and are now waiting for the opportunity to return. Back in Homs, at the heart of the Syrian uprising, the Revolutionary Council here are planning their next move. One of their members, Munir, believes that the very existence of the Free Syrian Army, although it's not yet made much impact, is encouraging.
The demonstration part of the revolution will continue peacefully. But on the other hand, the operations of the Free Syrian Army may increase more and more to protect the people. The basic duty of the army of any state is to protect the people. We will win, of course.
Voices from Homs in Syria, all unidentified. The interview's names were changed. That's Sue Lloyd Roberts reporting there, correspondent for our partner, the BBC, undercover in Homs. Part of our coverage of three remarkable scenes unfolding in the Middle East and North Africa this morning. The crackdown in Syria, very difficult to penetrate. Meanwhile, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is in Libya, heralding the birth of freedom in that country as the Transitional National Council takes more control of territory once controlled by Muammar Gaddafi. And, of course, all morning long we've been following the prisoner exchange in Israel. Gilad Shalit is now in Israel, and hundreds of Palestinian prisoners have also been released on their way to Gaza and the West Bank. You've been reacting all morning.
Yes, this is Paul in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. In regards to this Israeli prisoner exchange with the terrorists, in the words of Ronald Reagan, trust but verify. Let's see if the Palestinians can live up to this agreement.
You know how to reach us, 877-8-MY-TAKE, or you can post a comment, as many of our listeners are, at thetakeaway.org.